Amen. Well, if the team will make its way up, and we are so excited to be able to share with you just a snippet of what God was doing this week while this group from Faith Family went up and served Grantwood Community Church in Parma, Ohio, which is just outside of Cleveland. Before we get started tonight, I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 12, "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. And so I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many, peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." And so as Paul went out into the world, and as he saw him and his team, they were servants of God that were sent by God, commissioned out by God, and they carried with them the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as they were going, as they were living life on mission with all of its frustrations and unmet expectations at times and changes in plans, Paul had always in his mind that the sufferings that they endured and the trials that he faced was ultimately Christ had the victory. And so they were walking behind Christ, who already had the victory, for God, who had already laid the foundation for good works for his team and for other missionaries to walk in. And so what Paul has in mind here, really quick, in 2 Corinthians, something that is completely lost on us in an American context, is the idea of a Roman triumph. And so in that culture, when a commander-in-chief of the Roman Empire had a great victory, then there would be this great procession that would take place. And they would march through the cities of Rome, and there would just be this great parade. And it would include great officials, and it would also include the prisoners of war who would be following behind. And so Paul sees himself and his servants not as the ones leading the procession, but Christ as the ultimate victor has overcome all things. And Paul saw himself as a servant in the back, as somebody who was trailing behind. And this verse started our whole week. As we thought through, as we go out on mission in Parma together with Grantwood Community Church, that we are going out as the aroma of Christ. And so we made a decision as a team really early on that we wanted to smell all week. And that didn't mean that we didn't shower, because we did, but it meant that we wanted to be the aroma of Christ to everyone that we came encounter with. And so whether that was somebody in a store, or it was somebody across the street, or it was somebody in the hotel we were staying at, we wanted to be that aroma of Christ, and it was a prayer from the very beginning. And so we have just spent the week with Grantwood Community Church, which is a small gospel-centered church right outside Cleveland, with the mission to grow together as one community in Christ. And so the church planters there, Pastor Paul and his wife Sarah, are trying to do that, relying on the Holy Spirit, and they're trying to grow a body that is thinking biblically and living missionally and serving selflessly. And so we have gotten to come alongside them. This is our fourth trip to Grantwood as a body here at Faith Family. And every time looks a little bit different. And so particularly for this trip, it was probably the most intensive trip we've ever taken. A lot of hard work. These guys worked so hard, 12-hour days, maybe with an hour of rest in between somewhere in there, because there is a new theological institute coming to Ohio called Ohio Theological Institute, and they will be using the Grantwood facility as their library. And so during the day, we worked at the church to basically catalog about 7,000 books and build some shelves that were going to be used as the library at the bottom of this church. And then in the afternoons and in the evenings, we were spending time in outreach. And so we were going out and meeting people, going out as Grantwood Community Church to the community, and did a lot of similar things that we did here at Glow Week. We wanted to extend the reach of Grantwood and just let the community know that Grantwood Community Church loves them and wants to encourage them and be a part of the community. And so that looked like for us, one night we just made cookies and went and visited the local police department and the fire stations in town and just delivered cookies and offered if we could pray for those who were on shift that night and just sharing the gospel with them. And one of the things that we said pretty regularly was, thank you so much for what you do to protect the citizens of Parma physically. Grantwood Community Church is here to protect them spiritually. And so we want you to know that there's a church that loves you and is thankful for you. And so we were able to share and pray the gospel several times through that. Then another night, we went to the hospital there in Parma, and several of us split up, and we went and just blessed the nurses who were working that night with a gift to say, look, your job's really thankless at times, and you put in a lot of hours, and there's a church here who wants to just love on you and encourage you and support you, and we got to pray and encourage them, leave them with a little bit of a gift as well. And then we just went out, and as we were going, we looked for people to have conversations with. That included a free afternoon in the park where we gave out snow cones for free and just said that we want to give you a little bit of refreshment, and hey, while we're at it, we're going to share the gospel with you too. And so it was really great. And so everyone on this team that you're looking at had an opportunity to share the gospel this week in Parma, which is absolutely incredible. And there is so many stories for us to talk about tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you now, we're not going to get to all of them. And so look at everybody here and then take them to lunch one day this week or invite them to lunch after church and ask them more about the trip, because they all have stories, and we're going to do a flyby tonight, but they've got so much more to talk about, and they want a free meal, so there you go. All right, so Becca, I want to start with you because, Becca, this was your first mission trip at Faith Family, and being on a first-timer on a mission trip can come with a lot of anxiousness and anxiety and maybe a little bit of uncertainty about what's going to be asked of me, what am I going to do, what's it going to look like, and you really saw God move in your life this week from the first day to kind of where you're at now. So would you kind of share your feelings going into the trip on the first day and then how that's different now?
Yeah, so the first 24 hours of the trip pretty rough for me. I was super nervous and fearful, so much so that I didn't even want to talk to like people on the team. I was reverting back into my middle school days of being super shy and fearful and scared of what people would think of like what I would say. And so the first night we were there, we had just kind of like a hangout session at the Morrison's house. They had their life group there, and I didn't even want to talk to anybody there. I just kind of like kept to myself. Friday morning, though, I was down at breakfast and was talking with Ryan, and he was asking me how the night went before, and I was like, well, not very good. And he was just kind of asking me why, and I was like, well, super fearful of what everybody's going to think of me and like that I'll say the wrong thing or whatever it might be. And so he was super encouraging between Ryan and Joe just throughout that day. On Friday, they were super encouraging about just reminding me to trust more in the Spirit and God and be Spirit-led. That was like part of our devotional that morning, was to be Spirit-led and not be so self-sufficient, which is what I was doing. I was trying to like rely on my own will to be able to do everything and to be able to have the words to speak. And so that was my continuous prayer throughout the whole week, was just to be Spirit-led and to not rely on myself. And one of the verse that I memorized for the trip was Colossians 4, 2 through 6, which says that, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, to being watchful in it with thanksgiving, and at the same time pray also for us that we may, that God may open to us a door to declare the word and to share the word and declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of your time, and let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, and so that you may know how you ought to speak. And so for me, it was just like, even before the trip, like praying and memorizing that verse and using it throughout the week to remind myself that I need to trust in God to, that he'll give me the words to speak, that I don't have to have every single answer. And so as the week went by, it got easier and easier each day, and I was able to share and pray the gospel with different people throughout the week, and it was just super awesome, and I really want to go on another mission trip.
That's great. One of the main aspects for this trip always is living life on mission, because we go to other places with missions here at Faith Family, but when we go to Cleveland, you're going to a place that's similar in terms of your culture here. I mean, there's a Walmart that we frequent, and there's a corner Walgreens and a gas station and a grocery store. It's very normal things. And so we talk a lot about living life on mission, that we're going to these places that we would frequent anyway at home, but we're doing it with an intentionality of looking for an opportunity to share the gospel, looking for a moment to see where the Lord is leading us and how we can engage. And so, Liz, you had a pretty cool encounter at the park one day, just from taking a selfie of yourself against a tree. And so why don't you share how that kind of turned into an opportunity to share the gospel?
Don't laugh. So we were at the lake, and so we're all hanging out, and I'd already taken pictures. I mean, and so I was standing by this tree, and I'm looking at the bark, and I'm like, I see people take pictures all the time, and it's just simple backgrounds. I wonder how a selfie is going to look. And sure enough, I'm taking a selfie, and then there's this lady walking across the beach with her family. And I suddenly hear, oh, look at you, girl. You taking that selfie over there. I see you. I feel you. You feeling yourself. And I'm like, hey. And then I'm thinking, okay. And then right away, one of the things that on this trip, it was so spirit-led. And one of the things we discovered is that in the moment, God was using every situation as an opportunity to speak to someone. And so I went over there, and I started up a conversation with her. And she's going on and on about the selfie. She's like, that's a beautiful selfie. And I looked on her chest, and there is a horrible tattoo. I mean, it was horrible, guys. It said blessed. And I said, oh, man, I see you have a wonderful tattoo there. She's like, yeah, it was from my drunken days, but that's how I feel. And so I started, like, so tell me how you feel. Like, what makes you say you're blessed? And she just started talking, and it was not good theology. You know, it was a lot about just feelings and stuff like that. And that led us to have a conversation. And she started talking about, you know, her life, where she's been, and just being a drug addict. And she had this huge scar on her arm, like pieces of flesh was, like, badly sewn back up together, and she kind of referenced it. And I, you know, the Lord just allowed me to use that opportunity to talk about the rebirth in Christ and how we are renewed, you know, when Jesus lives in your heart. And I said, so do you go to church? And she was like, yeah, I used to go to this church and that church, but, you know, I need to go back to church. And then found out she lived pretty close to Grantwood. And so I invited her to Grantwood, and you know, usually we kind of have to give the information out to everyone. Here's a card. Here's where the church is. And she said to me, do you have a card with the church information? I'm like, yes, I do. And then she's like, what are the times? I, you know, pointed the times and everything. And then I said to her, I said, well, you know, how do I know that you're going to be there? She said, I'm going to tell the pastor to tell you that I'm here. I said, well, I have a better idea. You know, they usually put it on Facebook, and I want you to turn around and wave to me when I'm watching their message on Facebook. And she said, I have a better idea. Why don't I give you my phone number, and you call me Saturday and remind me to go to church? And I said, absolutely. And sure enough, she gave me her phone number, and she called my number, so I knew it was right. And then she said, oh, don't forget to call me. And so it was really good, because after that, I was able to text her and say, hey, it was really good meeting you. And she responded. And then in the airport yesterday, I sent her a message, and I said, hey, Keisha, I'm leaving Ohio, but it was really great meeting you, and I look forward to talking to you again and hearing about church and whatever. And she's like, you know, thank you, it was really good meeting you, have a great trip. So not only did the Lord allow me to meet her, have a conversation, but now I have a connection, and I'm praying that she goes to church on Sunday.
That's great. Cassie, you also had a similar experience at the lake that day with a piece of jewelry. Why don't you tell that story?
Yeah, so I have a couple of these wristbands that have scripture on them, and just standing there really kind of stressing about my Monday, and this lady is like, oh, hey, are y'all going to be here for a minute? And I think she could just tell there was something different about us. Like, I don't think any of us were wearing church shirts or anything, but she's like,
it's the smell. She could smell you. That's what it was.
Yeah. She's like, oh, these people look trustworthy. She's like, hey, you're going to be here a while. We're going to go jump in the lake, and will you watch our stuff? They had a blanket and some stuff there. I'm like, oh, yeah. And then she, like, pulls my arm, and she's, like, reading the scripture. And she's like, you know what? It's so crazy. Like, God always sends me the signs when I'm getting hateful or angry. He will just send me signs, and I'm like, well, maybe he's trying to talk to you. Have you ever thought of that? And I should have right then just kept the conversation going because boyfriend had walked off, and it could have just been us. But I didn't. She was trying to go, you know, get in the water, whatever. So when she came back, you know, I told Georgina, I was like, hey, will you come over here? Because, you know, this lady is like, noticed these scriptures, and I want to talk to her some more. And so we did, and, you know, she had been in church, and she wanted to kind of do church, but I'm not sure the boyfriend was 100% on board. But anyway, I should have taken it more. And so for me, like last night, I went to Dollar Tree, and there was this kid that had a bunch of wristbands on. I'm like, oh, hey, I like your wristbands. I'm like, yeah, and I didn't have mine on. So I'm like, I normally wear my wristbands, but, you know, I don't have them on right now. Like, tell me about them. And I told him that mine were scripture, and like he did not want to hear it. He could care less. So I'm like, okay, fine. But that missed opportunity really for me at the beach was like, why do I care? Like, why don't I just talk about it? Like, it's not a big deal. If they don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it. But, you know, at least I've done what
we
should.
We talked a lot about those missed opportunities that you see when the Lord kind of just sets you up to have a conversation, and we don't always take it. And an ongoing conversation all week was how a lot of times we want to muster up boldness, and we say, if I'm just bold, then I'll be obedient. And I really tried to help us as a team say, let's rethink that, and that when we are obedient, the Lord will make us bold. And if we are faithful to be obedient, boldness will come. But if we just sit and wait around until we're bold, we're never going to move, and we're never going to initiate. And so I think we all felt challenged in that way at different times. Normally, when we go on this trip, we stay at a local church that houses us. And we kind of all sleep on cots, and we kind of, it's a great, great time. But this summer, we couldn't do that because the church was having their vacation Bible school this week. And so the area that we normally sleep in was not available. And so we ended up having to stay at a hotel, which we were in a team meeting, and that immediately meant that the cost of our trip went up a little bit. And I watched as everyone's face kind of went, what? Because this is about a month out. And just as a testimony to God's faithfulness to provide, every single person was able to go on the trip. The Lord provided for every person to fill that gap. And it was so apparent that we were not meant to be at that church this week. We were meant to be at the hotel because the Lord just set up so many different opportunities for us throughout our time there. And one of the things that kind of immediately jumped out was Saturday morning. So think Saturday morning at a hotel, very busy morning, lots of families, lots of people. And we are down there for breakfast because we kind of had Devo every morning together as a group in the breakfast area. And we were having conversations, and I'm getting coffee, and there's a group of transgender men who come into the lobby of the hotel, and they've been staying there. And so I'm at the coffee station, and there's a man there, and just start having conversation. And Houston comes up, and traveling, and where are you traveling from? What are you doing here? It's great to be a tourist on mission because you have an excuse to tell people like where you're from and what you're doing. It's a great conversation starter. And so I'm having a conversation with this man who clearly has a lot of identity issues, who clearly is living a lifestyle that is not glorifying to the Lord, who believes that he is a follower of Jesus because he's a part of a liberal denomination that affirms his lifestyle. And so as I'm sharing with him, then there is almost just like, you know, they sense it or something. Three of our ladies start engaging with another one of the men in their group. And so I want Georgina and Liz and Cassie kind of explain what happened next in your conversation.
When we came downstairs, we walked into the lobby, and this is a guy but looks like a girl. And the second we walk in, they're like really excited to see us. Like, I don't even know. Like, they're like, hey. And I was like, Liz, you should go talk. I'm really good at getting other people. I'm like, Liz, you should go talk. Because she was like, saying hi to Liz. And then it happened again. And I'm like, Liz. So the third time, Liz actually was able to start talking to this person.
Yeah, there was something about this individual. It's almost as if I had seen her before him. I don't know what you want to call it. But it was just really weird. And for Liz and I, both our eyes locked on this person. And we couldn't stop looking at her. And so at some point, Liz started the conversation. And I'm sitting there listening, and then Cassie comes over. And before you know it, you have the three of us talking to Vanessa and sharing the gospel with her and getting to know this person, who she is. Turned out she was from Houston. And so we started to peel back the onion. To just keep the story short, we don't want to get really into too much detail, but it was just really interesting how she was sort of apprehensive at first about telling us things about him or herself, but it became easier and easier for us to really be able to look at her and really start sharing the gospel. That's when Liz started sharing with her more, so I'm going to pass that to you so you can sort of let everybody know some of the things that you were saying.
And I think this is, you know, this kind of ties into the memory verse that I had for the week, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And in that moment, you know, the Lord allowed me the boldness. You know, again, obedience in because, you know, like Cassie said, I walked in and I said, good morning. And my team didn't even respond good morning to me like Vanessa did. Vanessa went, good morning. And then Cassie's like, oh, Liz, you know. And in that moment, when we finally got her, the Lord just allowed me to start asking questions. You know, like, where are you from? You know, I said, so is there a church that you're associated with in Houston? Has there been a time that you've ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And this is what started the conversation. She said, sometimes. And I said, sometimes. I said, that's interesting because there's no sometimes with that, you know. So I'm wondering, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And she kind of looked at me. And so we started sharing. I just shared the gospel beginning to end. And the Lord was just placing on my heart to share the gospel of sin, because obviously she's living a life of sin. And, you know, that, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, Vanessa, the beautiful thing is he died for our sins, the past, the present. It doesn't matter the magnitude of the sin. Once you put your faith and trust in Jesus, his power is sufficient. And I mean, we're just like, the Lord was just like, and then boldness again, I said, so Vanessa, I'm going to ask you, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus? And she just looked at me and started tearing up and said, no. And this is when, you know, I think, I don't know if it was Georgina that said, or I don't know, one of us said, do you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus?
I took one look at her, and I knew we had her. I knew that she was really open. She really, you know, and I said, and this is part of the boldness, that you got to ask the question, yeah. Do you want to receive, do you believe in what we just said? And at one point, she did not hesitate. She did say yes, and I said, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now, here and now? And she did not hesitate, and she said yes. And so we took her aside, and the three of us prayed over her, and we led her in the prayer to receive Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And so we exchanged numbers. I did reach out to her the next day and said, hey, church is at 11, because we did invite her. She unfortunately did not come, but that's okay. But I also reached out to her before we left and said, you know, we're going back to Houston. So I would really like to see you. I would really like to spend some time with you and hope that you could come to Faith Family. And so we'll see how that goes. I have not heard from her since. But that was just another act of boldness is, you know, we have a tendency sometimes to sort of forget to ask the question. When you see the person and you know you, they're right there on the verge, and it's like just ask the question, just ask it.
And we had the conversation too of when you're in a hotel lobby and you have a lot of families and we had a tight schedule of things to do that day and we're ready to get going, and yet the Lord allowed us to see people and allowed us again to be the aroma of Christ and just to engage, in a real sense, people that. I don't know if we would normally actively engage, or if we would just kind of sit in our self-righteousness and, you know, make a joke or something like that. And so I was just really thankful that the Lord just gave us a burden for the lost in that moment, that we weren't, we were seeing somebody who needed to hear the good news of Christ. And the fact that the gospel was shared and then what the Spirit does from there, that's on God. You know, I was proud of these three ladies because they were faithful to proclaim the whole gospel, to not feed somebody words. And what the Spirit of God does now, moving forward, we'll leave that to Him, and how the Lord will water those seeds that were planted. And so they were faithful to do that. Just the whole experience of being in the hotel was really great, and I think really early on, Tammy and Steve were ones who in a team meeting. Said, you know what, maybe God has a plan for us being in this hotel, because me, like logistics planner, I'm immediately like, oh, this is horrible, like, you know, this is going to mess us all up, like, I don't know, like, we've never done this before, what does this mean? And parents, whatever, but they also were just super remindful, helping me remember that, you know, the Lord has a plan for us. And so, guys, how did y'all see the Lord giving us purpose and being there at the hotel really all week?
So for me, we were in Kentucky at that particular meeting we were having, and we were being FaceTimed in. So at the end of the meeting, Ryan, you know, broke the news that we weren't going to be able to stay where we normally did, and we were going to be staying in a hotel. And, you know, obviously there was downcast and worried, you know, because it would, of the additional cost it would be. And so Steve and I had went to bed that night, and the next morning I just woke up just really excited, thinking, you know what, this is really... God can use this opportunity, that there's bound to be somebody in that hotel that needs to hear about Jesus, rather it be somebody that was eating there or somebody that worked there or whatever. But so I sent an email out and said, what if God orchestrated all of this? And not really knowing what that meant, what that was going to look like, but to go to the hotel, and almost immediately, I believe the very next morning is when God just really started showing up and showing off, you know, people, these people going and speaking to, just stepping out in faith and talking to, and witnessing to people, and then having somebody walk up to our table while we're sitting there eating and saying, where's your pastor? Like, how do you know we have a pastor here, you know? And wanting to speak to Ryan, and we were trying to leave, but he took the time to go and sit and spend time with him. And just the aroma of God being there. We had a big table there. It was a long table. You couldn't miss us. You know, you had to walk by us one way or the other to get out of the hotel or to go eat. And, you know, just to I can't imagine what they were thinking, because every day we were there, and they couldn't get rid of us, and we were there with the Bibles and speaking and hearing people speaking about Jesus and having Cassie FaceTime in. And, you know, it was miraculous. It really was. The one particular thing that really spoke to Steve and I was, and we didn't even have a hand in it. It was Liz speaking with Dana, the manager of the hotel, had asked Liz if we could come and pray with her and to prayer walk the hotel because of some things that were going on in the hotel. And so she said, absolutely. And so that day we wrapped up early so we could go back and spend time with her and go in her office. And she was a believer, but she was having a lot of stress at work. There was a lot of turnover with employees. She felt like there was evil spirits in the hotel. And she said herself that she was going to be prayer walking, but if we could just come in there. And she, I don't even think she knew how many of us there was, but she opens up her office, and here we just keep piling in. And she's like, wow, you know, she's just shocked. And she starts sharing with us and all the burdens on her heart and how she had been trying to find another job. And every time she applied for a job, she was well qualified to have these jobs, but the door kept shutting, and she's still there, and she's frustrated. And but she loves to serve people, and she has a heart for people, and she wants a staff that will work together as a team. And so we just gathered around her and started praying, and it was very powerful, very almost each one of us praying, and just to see, you know, hear her, it was overwhelming. She was almost to the point of just like, wow, what is happening? She just kept saying, I can't believe this, I can't believe this, I can't believe, you know, that God would send all these people there and pray with her and encourage her. And for me, it was very, that was a very, very profound moment, you know, that God had a purpose and a plan as to why we were to stay at that hotel. And though it was more expensive and though all of that, God used that for him to be glorified. And
it was really great, because I shared with the team, like, you think through of all the hotels that we could have stayed at, of all the weeks for the host church to have VBS, that God was setting this up, I mean, way before we just show up in Parma. And it was a really great, it was such a movement of God that we just clearly saw God's sovereignty. We saw him setting us up. We saw his faithfulness to speak Christ with other people. One of the things, too, before we move on, so those two are retired. And so, particularly Steve, I want you, what would you say to other members of Faith Family who might be looking at retirement or approaching retirement soon? And how do you think that, is there an opportunity to leverage that new season of life in order to live on mission? Because I think that's something that you've expressed is, you know, retirement can oftentimes be used for self, but is there something better that people could be spending their time on?
Yeah, there is, and this is one of the things that's really touched me is, you know, as you're going through and you're working and everything, it's time and money. And when you're working full-time, you have family and responsibilities, the time is very precious, and you have very little of it if you have the money, and then you have some time, but then you have no money. Well, so when you get to retirement, all of a sudden you have this time, and then the money issue, your money kind of goes down, but, you know, if you make things priorities, you put God first, you start, and me and Tammy, this was my first mission trip, and I've been wanting to do this for years, and so I'm retired now, so I had the time, and this is a matter of, so when we joined this church, we started putting money back every month. we'd make some money, extra money, we'd put it back. So when the opportunity came, we were almost had all the money that we needed for this trip. You know, God has richly blessed us financially. Y'all know we've taken a couple of vacations, and we said, let's do it while we're healthy. We can do these things. So we got our time in, but we have to give back to God what's his. And so it's just been wonderful. And I keep thinking about, you know, things as you get older, you know, people talk about slowing down. But, you know, you look at Moses. He was 80 when God called him. Abraham was 75, all right, and told him, get up and go. And he just, okay, God, he got up and go. Moses, same way, 80 years old. He made a few excuses, but he got, I got that all figured out. You just go. And when you're faithful to God and you do what he said, he will give you these opportunities. I got to be here for Glow Week. That was a great thing. Come in with the kids in the morning and work with them, and then as adults we did all these things, and it's these are things that everybody in this church should want to do. There's because God didn't bring us in here by accident for you just sit on a seat and listen to Pastor. Me and Tammy believe that, okay?
Yeah. I'll tell you.
He has something he wants us to do. And and everything in this church, you look around, and you've got some, God's giving you these gifts, you know? And it goes back to the talents things in the Bible. You've got to use them, and he will bless you, and then he'll give you more if we've been being blessed. And if you don't use them, what did he do? He pulls those things away from you, and you wonder, why aren't I getting blessed? You use what he's given you, you know? And it gives you your treasures and your talents and your time. There's those three T's. If you're giving those back to God, he takes care of
them. Steve was the preacher of the group, you can tell, right? Yeah. I'll tell you, Steve and Larry, they kept us going, all right? They were motivators for sure. And one of the things that we asked everyone on the team to do was to prepare a Bible story. It's a challenge that I've done with most mission teams because for several reasons. But Larry told us the story of Melchizedek. He really, really pulled from the choice ones there, and then had an opportunity to actually use the story that you shared with us the night before in an encounter with somebody at the park with Pastor Paul. And so, why don't you talk about that for a quick second?
When we got to the park and set up for the snow cones, there was this pavilion. There were just I don't know how many people there, and I thought, well, that must be a big family reunion or something. And so I walked over, some kids were playing some kind of game, and I told the lady that we were going to have free snow cones available if the kids wanted to come over, or even the adults. And she said, okay. So I walked over to the pavilion. They were outside the pavilion. There was a gentleman standing there, and I said, is this a family reunion? He said, oh, no, we're a church. I said, oh, really? I said, well, we are too. And told him about the snow cones. They were a Hispanic Pentecostal church somewhere from around there. I never did find out where. But anyway, so I walked back, and the kids started coming and everything. And I don't remember how I got to where I was. I was over on the side of the table and saw this gentleman walking up, and one of the guys, a guy you would just say, man, this guy is so nice. I mean, he was just amazing, very friendly. And Pastor Paul came up at that time, and so he looked Hispanic and he sounded Hispanic. And I think I asked him where he was from. He said, well, I'm from Tunisia. And I was trying to remember where that was, but it's northern Africa on the Mediterranean. It's not a very big country, but it's a French country, a French territory it was. I'm not sure it still is. But anyway, he grew up speaking French. And then he said, I'm a Muslim, which kind of took me back. And so I said, oh, really? But he was with this, he came to the States, married a Hispanic lady, and they've stayed together. So anyway, I said, well, tell me, what do Muslims believe about Jesus Christ? He said, oh, we believe in Jesus. He was a good man and he was a prophet. And I said, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think you can say he's a good man are a prophet, because if he said, if you believe who he said he was either a liar or he was Lord. I mean, liar, lunatic, or Lord. You can't say that someone who claimed to be God, was a good man. And he said, well, he never claimed to be God. And praise the Lord, Paul was there. I blank. And Paul said, he said, I and the Father are one. And I said, yeah.
It was really cool to watch Larry.
But anyway,
and
yeah. We shared the gospel, and toward the end of the conversation, I said, well, can we pray? And can I pray? And he said, yeah. And said, but first let's have a hug. So three of us hugged, and I prayed the gospel. But I did use, he mentioned Abraham. We all go back to Abraham. I said, yes. And I said, there was a king who came to visit Abraham, whose name was Melchizedek, and that Jesus is like Melchizedek, and he's a priest of God Most High. So I don't know. I don't remember all that I said. But
it was really great to watch Larry and Pastor Paul just work together and sharing the gospel. I mean, literally, you've got two generations with a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and a compassion for a lost man having a conversation. It was a beautiful picture of how we can together work to share the gospel. That it was such a picture of obedience, and I'm glad that Larry was on the team with us. Well, really quick, want to keep going here for Aiden. You had a very specific conversation with a guy at the music store, and particularly one of the things that you the way it went down was, you had talked to him, you had a conversation, and then we left and kind of moved on, and then you kind of just felt like there was something more you needed to say or do. And so that second conversation you had, how was that? How did you see the Lord use you in that situation?
Well, first, for some reason, whenever I go into a store to talk to the people there, I make sure to, like, be there for a reason. Like, I went to the pet store, and I was like, do you guys have dog treats? Because I guess that's the only way for me to really get into a conversation is have them help me. So I had him help me find a music chord for my keyboard back home. And that's just how this conversation started. And we just kept talking. He just kept helping me. And then we left, and I came back. And when I came back to buy what I wanted to buy and talk to him, it was a lot of me just waiting around at first, because he needed to take care of another customer, and that was taking a while. And I was just sitting there, I was like praying in my head, like, God, why am I here? Like, why did you pull me back here? What's going on? And there was a lot of patience that needed to be practiced there, because in that moment, as I'm praying, like, suddenly a thought came rushing through my head, like, what are you doing here? Like, you should just leave. It's about to close. Like, you're just standing around like some weird guy. And so that thought was in my head, and immediately a counter thought came up, just because you're being weird and it's like 9, it does not mean you should run away and not share the gospel with this guy. Be patient. And I also chose Romans 1:16, and that was just repeating in my head, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is the power. It just over and over and over and over. And that encouraged me, like just to stay there and wait. And I'm glad that I did, because I dug in a little deeper. I found out, where he went to church, and he'd only been to one service. He'd been to the service the day before.
Just started going to church.
And I talked to him and I asked him, is there anything I can, pray for you as you go to church? Is there anything that's on your mind? And he said, no, everything's good right now. I'm having a great life. But he was concerned about the two shootings that had happened the days before. And he said, pray for them, pray for their families, because, that's hard. They're going to need it. And so I did, but I also prayed the gospel with him, because I wanted to make sure that if he didn't hear it yesterday, he heard it today.
It's really good.
And it was great because he seemed really receptive to that. You know, when we were done praying, he like shook my hand a bunch of times. He was thankful. He was like, "Hey, man, if you," he wrote his name down on the card. He's like, "Call the store sometime." And all.
Right.
So I might just.
You know. Right. And these conversations we had, they're costly. They will cost you some awkwardness. They'll cost you, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, actually speaking to someone instead of just going in and you know, rushing back out. But it was amazing to see how the Lord set up these conversations to be an encouragement, to be a challenge, to just speak a truth in a moment. And Ethan had a really great moment when we were at the park with that other church where I'm scooping out ice for a snow cone, and I hear Ethan's voice and I hear him sharing the gospel, and I immediately, you know, I'm like, ooh, that's one of ours. And it was really great to see. But he had this group of young kids from this church around him, and I believe your leading question was, so you've been baptized? Like, that was like your lead-in question. But in that moment, did you find that you were uncomfortable, or that or you were scared, or kind of what was going through your mind in that moment?
So there was these group of kids over at the other gazebo. You know, they were all playing. And by the way, these kids were like, all these people were really nice. You know, they were offering us food. And anyways, these kids, I was eyeing them like the entire time. As I would scoop ice for, you know, pass out snow cones, I'm like, you know, those kids, you know, I should go talk to them. I was like, God, like, you know, give me the strength. Going back to my verse, you know, you then be strengthened by the Lord and what he has done in the presence of others. And I was just like, all right. And I see them walking over. I'm like, okay. And, you know, we're making snow cones. And in that moment, I just, you know, I step out. Because, you know, they, Pastor Ryan and Pastor Paul take over because this massive swarm of kids just start coming over. He's like, oh, can I get snow cones? So I was like, okay. So I walk out, and I was like, So what's you guys' belief of the church? And, you know, some of the kids eating their snow cones, like, what is this kid talking about?
So what teenager asked that question,
like,
right?
Who is this kid? So, you know, those little smaller kids just start walking away and, you know, go doing what they're doing. I was like, all right. And so I asked what their belief is. And I think she was like my age. She was 14, actually. And she started telling us, you know, we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay. So they kind of believe what we believe. And in that moment, I'm like, you know, I wish I read maybe one of those Pentecostal books back in that library we were going through, because, like, I was like, what do they believe?
There were not Pentecostal books in the library.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I mean,
just to clarify.
Wait a minute. I said that. Sorry.
Lord be a hedge. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what do they believe? I wasn't very sure, but as she told me, I was like, okay, maybe they believe around the same thing. And so I asked, like, are any of you guys, are you guys saved, right? And they were like, yeah. I was like, good. You know, I continue to share the gospel with them, you know, just to assure it and make sure, you know, they had it. And I asked one specific kid on the side. I was like, what about you? You've been saved? And he was like, I was baptized as a kid. You know, I'm going to get baptized soon. I was like, oh, okay, good. You know, I shared the gospel again and just kind of went through it. So whatever you're going through, you know, God will be there for you, and you can call on the Lord. And as I'm just, you know, talking with these kids, you know, they invite me to go play volleyball. And it was just a great conversation. I was able to get the gospel out. And I felt not very scared. And, you know, that's the whole spirit-led thing again, that if you just trust in the Lord, you will be bold and you will be spirit-led. And in that moment, I was just, you know, I was just able to get the gospel out. And it was really good. It was unlike any experience I've had before. And, I was able, after that, I had, you know, finally asked, like, what do Pentecostals believe? And they're like, they believe that you can get baptized, or you get baptized as a kid, and to get saved, you get baptized again. That's kind of what Pastor Ryan told me. So I was like, huh. And so I went back, like, good thing, you know, that was the Lord again, you know, telling them, like, you guys been baptized, like, this is what baptism means. And I was like,
They had a lot of questions about baptism in the Spirit and being baptized, and so we were able to talk about that. And you know, one of the things too is, like, I'm thinking, all right, next overflow. My question is, hey, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you saved? Because it was so bold and clear, man. It was good. Well, look, just to kind of close us out here. One of the sweetest parts of this trip was just connecting as a body. And there was so much unity that happened between this group and a lot of funny stories, a lot of just sweet moments. But just to think about, like, the one spirit that we all have and that unites us, but also just to be united with Grant Wood, be united with Paul and Sarah, to be united with the members that we got to interact with, and at one point just being able to pray over one of their members and encourage him. as he's being raised up as a leader. But Joe really came out of the trip just really seeing that unity and really, you know, feeling like it impacted you. And so, and in what ways do you think seeing the unity between Faith Family and Grantwood and the unity of us as a team has made a difference in your life?
So I think it. Oh, that's really loud. I think it started probably the Wednesday before we left. We had a family visiting from England. And at the end of the thing, he's just like, hey, I play piano. And it turned into a 40-minute jam session or sorts. And it was really cool to, and at that point, of course, I wasn't thinking Unity of Christ or whatever. I was just thinking like, oh, a guy that plays piano and believes, it's cool to sing to the Lord when you have an extra instrument there. So, but it was kind of the starting point of thinking about the body of Christ in a bigger way than just Faith Family or anything like that. And as far as the unity of the team, I remember, which is probably not the best thought, but I remember going into the mission trip with the idea of like, hey, I actually like everybody on this team. like I enjoy everybody that I'm going to be with for a week. Like, this is really cool. There's nobody that I feel uncomfortable around or uneasy. Like, I kind of know each of them already in certain ways. And as the trip went on, it just like kept getting that feeling more and more, and had really crazy car rides that just, you know, more of just that unity that you don't get in normal ways.
Crazy car rides can be taken a million ways. Their minds are going all over the place.
Tammy fire drills.
Okay.
Singing
okay.
Off key. To go into, since, all right. Yeah. We'll explain that later.
Yeah. But take them to lunch.
Yeah. Take them to lunch. Yeah. But, just again, that unity of working together, being able to, I mean, I haven't served with some of these people before, so like Steve and Tammy, I had never served with. Being able to serve with Ryan, actually, like, we kind of serve in similar ways, so in that sense, we don't really cross paths so much. So being able to really serve with him, we had some great car rides and conversations that were just really encouraging to me. Again, being able to see Steve and Tammy and Georgina, that was the car I was in. So being able to really get to spend time with them, it was kind of weird that I ended up in the car with the three people I knew least compared to the other car where I knew everybody really well, which, you know, sovereignty of God. Yeah. But when we went to the park, it was a thing of Becca and I ended up going to this guy named Vidal. And a big thing for him was the fact that we were two white people from Houston, and he was a Puerto Rican man, and somehow we're in Ohio talking about Jesus together because he was a believer. And so, like, he just goes off on this thing of how awesome the body of Christ is and how great it is as brothers and sisters that we gather around this one thing. And he shows us, you know, the people he was there with, and there's about seven nations that were represented that were all believers. And I think it was the Pentecostal church, but he didn't. We talked about baptism, we talked about beliefs, and he, you know, great commandment, and the second one like it, love your neighbor as yourself, was like what he lived by and was able to give us his story and seemed like a good, true testimony. Mm-hmm. And but just seeing seven, eight nations in a small group of people, because there was only 10 people there or whatever, and the fact that there's eight of them in Ohio from so many different places, we're from Houston, and that was just really encouraging. But probably the biggest thing when thinking about unity is we did the prayer service at Grantwood Sunday morning, and I always kind of overthink, like, what am I going to pray about? Like, do I pray about this? Like, do I need to really pray for Paul? Do I need to pray for more members? Like, do I need to pray for members to show up? Like, what am I doing? And it kind of, I started in Paul's thing, and I prayed over him. And then as I went downstairs and went to their discipleship room, actually, I just started thinking about the lessons that will be there. And, you know, it just really hit me to pray for the certain body parts that they needed, in a sense. In 1 Corinthians, you know, eyes, ears, hands. Like, just send these people to Grantwood, because right now they have some of that. They have, and not to say they aren't a complete body, because we're the Big C Church together. But just to send those people, and then ended up getting really emotional crying for about 15 minutes because, of course, on a mission trip, you're thinking about sharing the gospel a lot. You're thinking about salvation, and just the thought hit me that we all cry out for help for our personal things, and God, like he constantly does, goes above and beyond. And instead of just saving us, he gives us this great community to be around and to encourage one another and to do things together and serve together and pray over each other. And just that came through in an awesome way for me, that like I had the head knowledge. I'd read, you know, books, read the Bible and all that. Like I knew there was that community, but like the emotional and heart aspect was finally connected, and you know, my aha moment in the basement of a church in Ohio happened. So, but I can continue.
No, you're good. You're good. Take them to lunch. So guys, I just want to leave you with a couple of things to be praying for Grantwood and praying for Paul and Sarah. As you do, they need partnerships, and they've got several prospects of people who are possibly joining their team and helping to build the church there. And they just need people to commit and people to say yes to suffering, to say yes to some really hard ministry, to say yes to giving up what the world says, hey, this is great, in order to follow what Jesus has commanded us to do in a place like Parma, Ohio. And so I'll be praying for them for that. They have anywhere between 15, 20 members. About four are really active, and four are really like in it, but their availability is zero just because two of them are doctors. One of them works a graveyard shift. And so they just need people who can be there and who can serve. And then also just be praying for 2020. Pray now and ask the Lord if he would have you join us next year to serve alongside them. And like Tammy and Steve modeled for us, like start saving now, because the Lord wants you to go on mission. And it's a matter of when the dates come up, are you going to already be able to say, yeah, I'm going. And we'd love to let you see this with your own eyes and to serve along with them. And so I would encourage you to do that. Well, you guys can head down, and we want to receive the offering. And so I've got a couple of announcements for you. And by a couple, I mean one announcement. And that is that if this fired you up, if you think about sharing the gospel, you think about, well, I want to do this life on mission thing. Well, then you need to come to Overflow. You need to come as we go door to door and we proclaim the gospel. And so the next one's coming up on August 14th. August 14, I believe, and so we want you to be here that Saturday morning to go out and share the gospel. If you've never been before, look, August 17. Look, if you're a member and you've never been before and you're like Becca and say, I can't do it, come with me. You can go out on my team. I will not make you say anything the first time. I'll let you just watch, and then I'll push you out another time, right? But come to Overflow. Do it afraid, right? If you are worried about what you'll say, we'll help you in that, all right? So come to Overflow. It'll challenge you, and it'll be obedient to what Jesus Christ has commanded us to do, all right? So let's pray, and then we will be dismissed. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to give you praise for your salvation, Lord, that you are saving people. Even right now, you are working to stir the hearts of men and women and children, young and old, to recognize their sin, to hear that there is one who has given them freedom from their sin, and that if they would repent and believe, that they would be saved. And so, Father, I pray that you would make us a body who is about that gospel, who proclaims that gospel with our lips everywhere we go. I thank you that we can be a missional church. Father, I pray that we would not just do that on trips, but we would do it every day in our life. We would do it in our families. Lord, that you would make us obedient. So, Father, be with us now as we depart from here. Give us each an opportunity to proclaim the gospel this week and bring us back safely on Sunday. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.